Welcome to the Spin Life Well Show, where we combine biblical wisdom and your personal finance. I'm here joined in the studio today by my co-host, financial professional Jesse Hamilton. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show.
I feel like we haven't been in the studio for a while, but it hasn't been that long. We've been going and attending several different trainings and conferences around the country in the last several weeks. And
trying to improve on ourselves and our business all the time.
And we're back in the studio, and today we're going to be discussing the topic of 5 steps to building wealth in your 20s and 30s. So you really need to listen here, Jesse.
Okay, perfect.
I know I wish I had had these things back in my 20s and 30s. I know I was reading Larry Burkett and things like that. And of course, you know, you read those things, you're like, well, this sounds really good, but
well, I'm definitely glad.
I don't want to do it now.
I'm definitely glad to be in the industry now in my 20s, but there is even stuff I wish I knew before this that would have set me ahead even further. So we hope that this quick discussion would maybe help somebody get on the right track early.
Yeah, and so we always, when the scripture says in Proverbs, commit your plans to the Lord, and he will guide your steps and things. I'm paraphrasing, so my pastor listeners, please don't send in a nasty email with that. But 5 steps to guide to building wealth. Let's start with the foundational steps, Jesse. Yes. What's the first one?
Well, we talk about this on the show a lot, but define what wealth means to you. And what comes to mind for me is who owns it all? Whose money is it?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, when you ask them that question, they're like, well, I guess God? Maybe?
But then it doesn't say God's name on the bank account. And
that's right. They really should make him as a joint owner. That would make things a lot more simple for folks.
It sure would.
But, you know, we were visiting with a new client this week. And, you know, they had plenty of money. They had done real well. They were in their early 70s and stuff, and money wasn't an issue. And they really weren't planning on spending it.
Yeah.
So I had to ask them, and this is what each of our listeners need to ask themselves, what is wealth and what am I going to do with it?
Yeah, what's it for?
What's it for? And that's really a lot harder question to answer than it sounds like.
Yes, it is. But you know, once you're able to define what it is and who owns it and what it means to you, you can really start creating that plan, which then leads to setting goals.
Yeah, because if we know what the money is for, then we can answer probably the second most important question is, how much is enough?
Yes, that's what a lot of retirees, you know, come to us and say, how much is enough? Well, we don't know how much is enough. What does it mean? What's it for?
Right. And hopefully, if you're getting near retirement, you've asked this question a long time ago. But for folks that are just starting building wealth, we think it's important to really, you know, understand, define what wealth means to you, look at it from the terms of a biblical worldview, and what does life look like when you are spending life well?
Well, a lot of my peers are entering that, you know, couple years, 3 to 5 years after college, you're really getting your work settled, you're starting to make some money, and you have a lot of work to do at that point. And you know, we're also experiencing a very unique time in the financial system, high interest rates, stock market that's volatile, a lot of things that, you know, get people asking questions.
So once we define what wealth is and really what the money is for, We really want to see people creating a spending plan.
Right.
I think this is one of the missing elements that a lot of families or households don't have, is they don't take the time to create a spending plan. Now, this is not the B word or budgets.
Yeah.
This is not the B word, but it's better for you to take control of the money you've been entrusted with and tell it where to go. Every dollar needs to have a place of where it needs to go. And it'd be flexible.
A lot of people see the B word as a negative thing of you can't spend this and can't spend this. And we think of a spending plan as this is where my money's going to go.
Right. So you need to create that spending plan. And once you've done that, if you have bills or debts, you need to create a plan for paying those off.
And we did a whole show on debts. We recommend to go listen to that, all types of debt. But there's a bunch of strategies if you are in what we might consider more of a severe debt situation.
Yeah. So, you know, we need to look at that. We need to pay off those debts. You can always do a debt snowball or a debt avalanche, as we kind of coined it. You know, Dave Ramsey talks about snowballs. We're still talking about snow, but it's an avalanche because we want you to do it a little bit faster than that. But you can do that, and
we don't have avalanches or snowballs in Texas.
No, though. There's not. So it's probably just like a snow cone we have to use to create the debt snowball. But you know, you need to know what your debts are first and foremost. List all your debts, rank them in terms of the size of the balance of the debt, and also know what the interest rate is. Mm-hmm. Interest rates are going up, so we're seeing a lot of credit cards are 27% to 29% interest.
Yikes.
And folks, paying off that debt is the same thing as you earning 27% in a savings account. All
right? For the situation that you're in, yes, it is.
That will save you such much money. If we're able to pay off our debts, that puts us in a much more solid situation when it comes to our finances.
Mm-hmm.
So after we've really paid off our debts, we can really begin to aggressively build our savings, right?
Right.
And the first thing we need is what?
The emergency fund.
Absolutely. So, because the emergency fund was probably what we didn't have when we racked up those debts.
Yes. And if you are just baby steps, just trying to get started in the right direction, you can always start with $1,000 in savings. We recommend, you know, it varies between each person, but Mark, 3 to 6 months, would you say?
Yeah. And the reason the range is there, that's a good start. The reason the range is there, some people have very steady paychecks, yes. Right? Some people may work on a commission. You know, if you're on a commission type income, you want more towards the 6 or more months
right.
in reserves, because you don't know how your income will fluctuate.
And also, how steady is your job security? You work for a giant company and you're doing well, or do you think you might lose your job?
Well, and there have been a lot of layoffs lately in the news.
There have.
So the idea there, and it also depends, you have a two-earner household or right. a one-earner household.
We also need to think, I want to explain exactly what we mean by 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
That's your necessities expenses. So your rent, your utilities, your minimum payments on debt, the things that you need to pay, your cell phone bill. We're not including your Netflix and your Friday night hangout with friends spending. Those things are going to get cut if you're in an emergency.
Yeah, those are discretionary expenses.
Right, there's some lingo for you.
So if you lose your job, you probably shouldn't be going out to the clubs and restaurants on Friday night. You probably right. should be cutting back a little bit. Or I see a lot of people that lose their job, so they decide to take a vacation, which I don't understand, because that's spending money you may not have
right.
in those situations. So, you know, make sure that you're building your savings. Now, once you've done the emergency fund, this is where it gets to be fun. You know, we can start doing things like contributing to our retirement accounts.
Yes.
If you work for an employer that has a retirement plan, like a 401k or maybe some type of other IRA, you need to make sure that you're taking advantage of that once you've paid off your debts and built up this emergency fund.
Right.
We don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, right?
Yeah, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. This is the next step after you've got the savings in hand. But a lot of people think that we need to get fancy and open different types of accounts or stocks or Roth IRAs and stuff. If your employer offers a retirement plan, that's your best option, right?
Yeah, with all these different steps we're talking about to take in your 20s and 30s, you notice that we're going deep into each of those topics,
right?
You need 6 months of an emergency fund. You need to have your debts paid off. Notice that we're not saying it's like, hey, well, add a little extra money to paying off the credit cards and set a little side yeah. over here for saving for a rainy day. And you know, you want to make sure that you're dabbling in your employer 401k.
Right. It's more of an order, a checklist.
That's right. We want these steps to be done because we want to help you accelerate developing that life that can be spent well because you've done these steps in
right.
in great detail. So once we've paid off our debts, we've got an emergency fund, we can take advantage of those options. Now, many of you probably have an employer that matches some or all of your contributions to your workplace retirement plan.
Right. And that's the beauty of the plan, really.
Yeah. And you want to make sure at least before you start getting all fancy and trying to diversify into different types of accounts, you want to make sure that you're taking up to at least that match so that you get all that free money from your employer.
Correct, yeah.
And beyond that, you can certainly do other things like open up outside IRAs. Maybe you want to have an investment account that's to save for a long-term
mm-hmm.
goal that you might have, maybe a down payment on a house,
mm-hmm.
Vacation home maybe if you're so inclined.
Right.
But all things that you should take advantage of the employer match first before we get more sophisticated with other things.
Right. And I don't want to downplay what I said earlier. I might have said something negative about a Roth IRA, but next in line, in my opinion, would be that as a good option.
Yeah. And the Secure Act 2.0 changed the rules on a lot of different things. I think what you're going to be seeing is more and more employer plans are going to be required to offer the Roth option in the 401k. Yes,
which is a big benefit to a young person trying to build wealth.
Huge, huge. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime.
Right.
Huge.
Extrapolated out many, many years.
So, and one of the other changes may be that we're still waiting for the rules to be interpreted, but we sense that employer matching funds may have to have the option to go into a Roth type account.
Mm-hmm. And the Secure Act 2.0 was dropped on desks, 1,000 pages long, and it has to all be interpreted. So it might be a little bit before we know really that means.
So we'll be watching. We'll talk about here on the Spend Like Well show. We'll be watching for the IRS's interpretation of those things and trying to get some rules around that. So all these things are really the foundational things to really building significant wealth, significant God-honoring wealth. But we need to do these other things first, like trying to figure out what money means to us, creating a spending plan,
right,
paying off those debts and bills, starting to build our savings slowly, and then really contribute to those retirement accounts. And I think if you do those things, you know, you're going to be well on your way in your 20s and 30s to be thinking about maybe early retirement.
Right.
That's right. If I had done that, I wouldn't be talking to you today. So, you know, we're trying to help others figure that out early, so that you can get ahead when it comes to wealth building in a God-honoring way.
Right.
Also, Jesse, I think, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, many of us have never done this before. So we want to help you along. You might want to find a mentor. You know, maybe there's someone at church that is a little bit older, wiser, and they know a little bit more about money. They can help you with these things.
Yes.
It could be just an accountability partner. It's a friend. Hey, I'm trying to pay off debt. You know, help me make sure I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen the movies and things, and whether there's different self-help methods. You know, cut up the cards and freeze them or whatever.
Yeah.
So lots of different ways. But also talk up a little bit about, Jesse, about just simply what we have to do to educate ourselves.
Right. We need to be careful about where we get our education from. If you search the wrong places on social media, you're going to get bad advice, and you're going to get a lot of people with motivations that aren't your best interest. So just be careful doing that. But lots of great places to educate yourself would be seminars and webinars from reputable companies. They do them pretty often to try to teach people. Podcasts and YouTube shows can often offer some good advice. You know, I would always recommend just talking to multiple people about it. If you learn something, tell somebody else about it and see what their opinion is as well.
I think any book by Ron Blue or Larry Burkett are great foundational, because they look at things from a Christian worldview,
right,
and using biblical wisdom. And I think those are good places to start. But there's a lot of different financial advisors out here that really really want to help educate the public,
right,
about different financial topics. I would stay away from social media.
Yeah,
I would stay away from watching any type of business show because it's all for entertainment. It's not really about educating you.
And just keep in mind that most companies and most ads out there are just trying to sell you something and make money.
So let's talk about two books. We've actually had some of these folks on our show in the past.
Yes.
Free to Follow, which is written by Michael Blue.
Yeah, that's a great one. About really finding your purpose. It includes some talk about money management and everything, but it's really about you finding that place in your career, in your life, that you are just really doing exactly what God wants you to do.
And another one, which we heard him speak at the Kingdom Advisors Conference in February, was Redeeming Money by Paul David Tripp.
That's a great one.
Can I get his middle name right?
Paul David Tripp. Yeah, it's an easy read. It's a great foundational book on that first question: what does money mean to you?
All right, guys. Well, you know, this is the end of our program for today. But, you know, if you ever have questions about how to build a wealth plan for yourself, you can contact us, send us an email at info@spendlifewell.com, or give us a call in our office. Just go visit our website, spendlifewell.com. happy to spend a few minutes with you, just getting to know you and kind of helping you on your way. So until next time, this is Mark Trice and Jesse Hamilton. You've been listening to the Spend Life Well Show. Have a great week.